Recorded Books presents Blood Ties 2 by Sean Sinclair, narrated by Dylan Ford. Chapter 1. Attorney Philip Buckus, Esquire, stepped out of his late model Mercedes sedan, savoring the cool Carolina night. The day had been a monumental one for him, as far as cases go. He had been retained to represent one of the most notorious criminals in the history of North Carolina. His client was unofficially accused of being a hitman with a body count to rival Hitler's. Officially, he was charged and subsequently indicted for the murder of one of his rivals. Attorney Buckus didn't relish the case, but what he did enjoy was the huge payoff he was guaranteed to receive, as well as the pay of future cases he was sure to gain from the publicity this trial generated. He was sure to continue living the lavish lifestyle he was accustomed to, like the enormous five-bedroom home he had just pulled his Mercedes inside of. Buckus's home was large by any standards, but not so large as to confuse him as being a glutton. After all, he was a lawyer, and the field of law demanded one practice practicality. His home was a two-story brick house, with basic architecture forming its exterior. Inside was another matter altogether. His foyer boasted marble floors imported from Italy and glass chandeliers from Greece. The best part about the inside was that there was no loud-ass children and definitely not a bitchin'-ass wife. Buckus was a perennial bachelor and swore to be one until the day they put him in the dirt. At 36 years of age, that left him a lot of playing to do, or so he thought. Philip Buckus opened his mahogany front door and was met with an end of a double-barrel shotgun. He cringed briefly before the weapon was rammed into his mouth, crushing his front teeth on the way in. The sheer brutality of the blow pushed him into his $3,000 door, slamming it forcefully. Buckus attempted to talk, but the cold steel prevented him. He attempted to get a look at his assailant, but the only light in the foyer came from a miniature lantern down the hallway. The only thing Buckus could surmise from his precarious situation was that his assailant was strong, very strong. Without warning, the shotgun was removed from his mouth, and he was spun around quickly with his face smashed into the door. Judging by the fluidity in which it was done, Buckus knew he was being harangued by a professional. He had no idea who it could be, for he had represented a lot of unscrupulous people throughout his 10-year legal career. Some he helped walk, others he didn't. Faced with losing odds, he did what lawyers did best, try to negotiate the second the shotgun was removed from his mouth. "I have money," Buckus spat. "Whatever they're paying you, I'll double it," he offered, and for his troubles he was met with a cuff to the head from the butt of the short shotgun. "Oh, shit," he screamed, but his pleas fell on deaf ears. His assailant had come to do one thing and one thing only. The assailant kicked Buckus in his knee from behind, causing him to fall to the ground. "Please don't kill me. I swear I've got money. I'll pay you and forget this ever happened," Buckus pleaded, trying to get a glimpse of his attacker. Unfortunately, he was chastised again with a blow from the shotgun. Finally tired or torn with the quarry, the assailant raised the double-barreled shotgun to the back of Buckus's head and pulled both triggers simultaneously. Chapter 2.
"Mr. Moore, I am pleased to inform you that your therapy is going well. The fact that you have come this far is remarkable. However, if you wish to make a full recovery, you must be completely honest with me."
Justice looked at the doctor from his wheelchair, sadness seeping from his eyes behind the lightly tinted Cartier frames. As bad as his physical injuries were, none of them compared to the damage done to his psyche. Never in a million years could he fathom seeing a shrink. Yet, here he was. Justice had overcome insurmountable odds. First, teaching himself to walk again, only after being stitched and stapled so much he resembled a Cabbage Patch Kid. Then regaining partial use of his left hand. Though he now sat in a wheelchair as he conversed with the doctor, it was only for show. In actuality, he was able to walk fine, run even. But no-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?